BBC News with Julie Candler. Thousands of people have laid flowers and lit candles at the spot where the Russian opposition activist Boris Nemtsov was shot dead on Friday. European ambassadors were among those who paid tribute to the activist at the makeshift memorial on a bridge close to the Kremlin. Mr. Nemtsov was due to lead a protest rally on Sunday. Instead, opposition supporters will now hold a march to mourn his death. From Moscow, here's Sarah Rainsford.
All day, people came to the bridge just beneath the Kremlin to lay flowers, to stand in stunned quiet at the spot where one of President Putin's biggest critics was shot four times in the back.
We are in shock. We were crying all night. It's just impossible to believe. He was the most honest and open politician in our country.
Vladimir Putin has called the murder vile and cynical. Investigators suspect a provocation, an attempt to destabilize Russia. Mr. Putin's spokesman is adamant that the Kremlin is not involved.
A Ukrainian photojournalist has been killed in shelling in eastern Ukraine. His newspaper, Servodnia, said Sergei Nikolaev died near the village of Pesky, northwest of the rebel-held city of Donetsk. Sporadic fighting has continued since the ceasefire agreed earlier this month. Both sides have said they're continuing to withdraw heavy weapons from the front line. Thousands of supporters of Italy's right-wing Northern League have poured into Rome for a rally against immigration. The party leader, Matteo Salvini, accused the government of selling out to the European Union.
I want to change Italy. I want the Italian economy to be able to move forward again, something that's obstructed by Brussels and mad European policies. I want to free the energies that are present in Italy.
Mr. Salvini's Northern League has been gaining support for its attacks on the government's austerity and immigration policies. But the centre-left Democratic Party of the Prime Minister, Matteo Renzi, is still ahead in the polls. The Vice President of Sierra Leone has put himself into quarantine because one of his bodyguards has died from Ebola. Samuel Sam Sumana said he would remain in isolation for 21 days. At the same time, the authorities have reinstated some restrictions due to an increase in confirmed Ebola cases. Mary Harper reports.
The government said it was gravely concerned about the rise in new cases, many of which were connected with maritime activities. It's increased checks on ferries and other vessels and imposed a ban on ships leaving shore at night. It's also limiting the number of people allowed to travel in taxis and introducing more rigorous health checks across the country. At the end of last year, there was optimism about a decline in new cases in Sierra Leone. But that trend has been reversed, and the World Health Organization says it doesn't yet know why.
World News from the BBC. The head of the Argentine National Fire Control Agency has been sacked over a huge forest fire which is threatening to engulf a renowned national park in Patagonia. Jorge Barrionuevo was removed from office during a visit to the region by a senior government official. The flames have already destroyed 200 square kilometres of forest and are advancing towards Los Alerces National Park, which is home to large trees dating back more than 1,000 years. One of Turkey's best-known novelists, Yasha Kemal, has died. He was in his early 90s. Kemal, who was of Kurdish origin, was best known for his book Mehmet My Hawk, a story about feudal life in southern Turkey. Farhana Dawood reports.
Yasha Kemal burst onto the world literary scene in 1955 with Mehmet My Hawk. It was translated into dozens of languages, earning him rapid international fame. He was nominated for the Nobel Literature Prize, but he also faced several trials in Turkey over his writings and his political activism, particularly his denunciation of racism against the Kurds. People across the globe have taken to social media to pay tribute to the man who many see as instrumental in recreating Turkish as a literary language.
A film about jihadists in Mali is about to be screened for the first time in West Africa amid tight security. The Oscar-nominated movie Timbuktu is being shown at the Fes Paco African Film Festival, which just opened in Burkina Faso. The organisers of the festival had earlier planned to withdraw the film for security reasons. A commission of inquiry in Rwanda has found that a BBC television documentary which questioned official accounts of the 1994 genocide failed to meet the organisation's own editorial standards. It recommended that the Rwandan government take legal action against the BBC. Rwanda suspended broadcasts by the BBC's Kinyarwanda language service after the television documentary was aired. The BBC said it was extremely disappointed by the findings. BBC